Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
This has been a great worship hour. I'm blessed to be able to preach. And I have preached before quite a number of churches. I do not know a church in this country that has the good qualities that equal the West Huntsville family. There are a couple of demonstrations of that tonight. One of them is the size of this crowd. Now, we're not at the number of our morning worship, but we're not far from it. That's unique. And it's a demonstration of strength in this church. That's a wonderful thing, but there's something else. And as we were singing and praying and contemplating the Word of God tonight, as these men came up, I love them all. And I tell you, and not just these men, but other men in this room. There's a depth and a maturity, a spiritual maturity. I thought to myself, if this week all of the elders and the preachers were suddenly gone and went to the other side of eternity, this church would go on just like it's going on now. Because one of these men would call a meeting. And on Wednesday night, you know what this church would do? They'd meet for Bible study. On the Lord's Day, you know what this church would do? It'd meet for worship. And one of those men would preach. One of those men would lead singing. They would lead prayers and they would organize and make sure that the work of the Lord didn't slow down one bit around here. That's a unique thing. That's a sign of a really remarkable church. And we have God to thank for it. May it ever be so. Let's talk about redemption. I want you to say this in your heart. I don't want you to say it out loud. I want you to say it in your heart. I'm a Mephibosheth. I am Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, you read about David. And this has been a long time coming, but now he is the full king of Israel. I mean, he's over the whole thing. King Saul, who has been so mean to him, is dead. But also David's good friend, Saul's son, Jonathan, is dead, died in battle. David grieved it. Oh, he grieved the loss. And now I suppose there's a quiet moment and David is pondering history and he misses his friend Jonathan. And he calls his servants and he says, "Say, is there any descendant of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And Ziba was called. Ziba knew about this. And so they bring Ziba in. "Hey, does Saul have a descendant anywhere?" "Well," he said, "yeah, I guess you could say so. There's one. His name is Mephibosheth. But he's lame on his feet. He's a cripple. Bring him." I did not know how Mephibosheth felt. I have a hunch that he was petrified because his grandfather Saul had been so mean to the man who now sits on the throne. And surely it would be the case with many other kings that they would want to clean house of any descendant of a king who had been so bad as Saul had been. Mephibosheth enters the presence of King David and he falls down on his face. I think he was scared. I think he was scared because the first thing that David uttered was, "Don't be afraid, Mephibosheth. Don't be afraid. I brought you here because I want to show you kindness for your father Jonathan's sake. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and I'm going to make sure you get it. In other words, I'm giving you the wealth of King Saul. I'm going to see to it that you have it. And from now on, when you eat your meals, you're going to eat them at my table. Because I'm going to restore you to the place you should actually be. I'm redeemed. I want everybody in this room. See, the problem is that we cannot appreciate redemption if we don't appreciate that we're like Mephibosheth. We'll never really appreciate it. We'll hear about it. We'll sing about it. We'll pray about it. But it won't ever mean anything to us unless we appreciate the fact that we are Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth said, how is it that you can say this to one like me who is a dead dog like me? And I was lost in sin. And God, you see, what David did was in behalf of Jonathan. It was for another. And what God does is in behalf of his son, for you and for me. And I'm lost in sin. I am without hope. I have nothing. As Mark prayed in his prayer tonight, I thought he selected his words so well. I don't have anything to recommend myself to God. And so we have 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Look at this. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. Him is God, who became wisdom, became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Lay it on the table. So what do you have, Christian? What do you got from God? What do you have through Christ Jesus from God? Lay it on the table. You've got wisdom. Oh, you know that my definition of wisdom that I really like, I don't think it's perfect, but I like it, is that wisdom is the ability to see how a particular course of action will ultimately turn out. And what you did, if you're a Christian, is that at one point you looked at the cross of Jesus and you saw the blood and you said, I believe him. I believe that he's the Son of God, and I believe that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by him. I know I got to go this way or I'll be damned. That's wisdom. Same chapter, you know, in 1 Corinthians, he said, why the preaching is to them that perish foolishness, but to those of us who are saved, it's the wisdom of God. Wisdom. I know how this is going to turn out. And I have that wisdom because of what God gave me through Christ Jesus. And righteousness, in this case, meaning I'm approved of God. How do you like that? Me, I'm approved of God. One who was lost in sin at one time, but now I'm approved of God. I have righteousness attributed to me. And sanctification, it means set apart for holy purposes. Set apart. I'm a member of the church. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm a member of the church because of what God has done in Christ Jesus. In John 17 and verse 19, Jesus said, I'm sanctified in order that they may be sanctified. Talking about you and me. And I'm redeemed. Ephesians 1:7, in him you have redemption. And I tell you where it came from too, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his grace. In 1 Peter chapter 1 that was read tonight, and I loved it. He talks about heaven and he says, now look, Christians, you can't lose your hope of heaven. You got to keep a hold on that. The trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. He says, don't lose your faith now. I know you're suffering. I know it's hard sometimes to live in this old world as a Christian, but don't you turn loose of your faith. Because if you do, you'll be reduced to spiritual poverty. You've got to hold on to your faith. And then it gets down to verse 18. For as much as you were not redeemed, this is redemption, with corruptible things like silver and gold received from the vain traditions of your fathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And so tonight, we sing. You see, singing is the expression of Christianity. It's how we express it. And we've sung tonight of redemption. Now, I want you to see one more thing about this verse in 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says that these are the things that we have in Christ. Now, bear in mind, the New Testament teaches that there's only one way to get into Christ. It's stated in two passages of Scripture. In Romans 6, beginning in verse 3, and Galatians 3, beginning in 26 and following. There's only one way to get into Christ Jesus. Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death? Let me ask you a question. Are you redeemed? Do you have the wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption that comes from being in Christ? I can ask it a different way. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? If the answer is no, tonight would be a great time, and we'd be so happy to assist you in doing that. And if you already have done that, but you really would like the prayers tonight of the Christians, we'll be happy to do that with you. We're going to sing now together again, as is our custom at this point, and we want to stand it. We want to encourage anybody who would like to respond to the Lord's invitation to come. Let's stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.